When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Prepare at last his return, your behavior our Savior discerns. I'll slay you in the end, my friend.
Hello and welcome to Tribulation Farce, a Left Behind podcast. Book 2, Tribulation Force? I am your Tribulation Force, Tim Lanning, and joining me, as always, is my Tribulation Force, Jennifer Cheek.
Hello, everyone. We're really fucking in it
we're
now.
Back, baby.
Guess who's back?
Yeah.
Back again.
Yeah, that whole song is gonna be here.
Guess who's back? Back again. Christ is back. Tell a friend.
I was trying to make it work with, like, Nikolai Carpathia or, like, anyway, Rafer, but I'm like, I don't really want to say welcome back to Rafer.
You have no rap opinions for him?
No, he's so boring.
Yeah, he's boring.
And, like, yeah, ugh, Rafer, fuck. We have so many more books of these to read.
Yeah, I don't remember how long anyone but Buck goes, but I think I'm assuming they all survive.
I don't. Well, if you listen to these chapters, that doesn't seem so certain.
So here we are in the beginning of the second book, Tribulation Force. Obviously, the inspiration for our name and the reason why we're like, are we allowed to call it that?
Yeah. Well, we changed the letter, so it's fine. And I do keep wanting to call it Tribulation Farce.
Yeah.
I think that's better.
I think we almost called the podcast Tribulation Force.
We did. We almost straight up just called it the Tribulation Force.
That's us.
Yeah, we are the Tribulation Force.
So it's been several months. We've done a couple bonus episodes.
Yeah.
We've done a handful of Patreon exclusive things over at patreon.com/contenthole. Thank you so much, everyone over there. We have a rad community doing cool stuff. Have a Valheim server and all that things. We're recording this on April 11th. 4/11.
Is that something?
I don't know.
I don't know anymore. I don't know these things.
I don't know anymore. And it's April. It's April.
It's
so
April.
We can't
2023.
Go back. Can't
yeah.
Go back.
I feel like we've been very busy the past few months.
Yeah.
So
we wanted to do this like a month ago.
And then we just kept having things to do. Mm-hmm. I keep having to do work at my job.
Yeah.
Which I'm not a fan of.
The Greetings Adventurers Dungeons and Dragons podcast Kickstarter kind of set us back a little bit.
That also, we recorded an entire weekend, like a long weekend of audio for that, which I think people are going to love. But yeah, we were busy. So anyway, we're back into it now, baby.
I'm excited.
Can I say overall though? I don't know, these chapters
are boring.
They're fucking boring. I was like mad about it. That's why I was like when Tim was reading out on the back deck, and I went to chill near him, and it was killing me not to be like, why are these chapters so boring?
They're so boring.
Like what the fuck? I mean, but and yet I have so many pages of notes about it.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. Because since you're super busy with a project and you. Typically, you make the notes for the show. I offered to help, but I'm glad I didn't because I would have no more. I would have none of these. I'd have been like, they just say some
nothing
shit.
Happened.
Nothing happens.
Well, and that's the thing, like, because when I finish reading it, because I always my first read through, like, I go through and underline and like kind of try to note important plot beats, and then I flip back through it to make the notes. And like when I finish reading it, I'm like, what the fuck are we going to talk about? It? But then like once I went back to the notes, like there is stuff to talk about. It's just it's kind of hard to come back. From the drama of the previous book, when a Nikolai Carpathia did a double murder in front of everyone
and hypnotized everyone.
So now that it's back to like kind of like normal stuff, it's like
we've entered a weird section where we have to treat it like a normal book,
and they're all Christian now.
Yeah,
so it's just like ugh.
Well, I mean, some of the Christian bit means they. they feel guilt and emotions.
Yeah, which is interesting.
Yeah.
And they do, we do get more into the whole, well, more religion, mm-hmm. like that shit. But, like, nothing exciting happens in these first two chapters.
Right. In book one, they come out with a friggin' blast.
Yeah, well, because it's the rapture, which mm-hmm. it makes sense. But, yeah, it's book two, not as exciting.
Not as exciting, but that makes sense.
They also started with a little, like, prologue to remind you of what happened yeah. in the previous book, which made me laugh.
Yeah.
But it at first I was like, I almost was like, I don't need to read this.
Oh,
I
boy.
Just read this. But, of course, I did read it.
You have to.
And it did remind me that it has only been 2 weeks
yeah.
since the rapture happened.
That blew my mind.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like it should be at least a month. Not that that makes any difference, but 2 weeks, that's zero time.
Carpathia, he's just going so fast.
He literally, oh my god, yeah, he's going so fast.
I just don't think we're ready for it, you know, our structures. What are you gonna
I mean,
do?
Maybe that's the thing. Like, it's going fast and, you know, these first chapters are kind of slow. And it's like, listen, you're going to be glad of those slow chapters because it's going to
yeah.
be so chock full of drama later.
And I'm curious if they're going to do a time jump because what the fuck are they going to do? Because
aren't there like 10 books?
Yeah.
Oh, but you're right. Like, I was like, well, they don't need to do that. It's like, wait, the first book was like 2 weeks. Then, yeah, they must.
Or
they have to yada, yada, yada some stuff.
Yeah, I mean.
Like, 3 months later.
In my opinion, all books have time jumps. Because if it goes the next day, what happened during the night?
Yeah, okay, but the thing is, unfortunately, actually, Left Behind does not do enough time
true.
Jumps. Because it just is like, next chapter is immediately where we were before.
Yeah.
Like, guys, really? Come
it's
on.
Not a it's a time jump if the person says they're about to go to bed, and then they show up somewhere else. That's a time jump.
Yeah, yeah,
but if you
yeah.
mention that they're in bed, that's not a time jump.
Because right.
Because
you're saying they're there.
Exactly.
The other important thing that we were reminded of in the prologue is that if all the prophecy shit, you know, goes the way that they think it will, that only one of the four members of the Tribulation Force will survive the next 7 years.
Uh-oh.
Who's gonna die? It is very convenient that there's four of them, so they can literally be like,
oh god, yeah.
Three and four of us are gonna die.
Yeah, that's why you should always have four friends, because that's how it usually works out.
Yeah, well, it's like, well, one out of four, one out of
or
three.
A group of four friends, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know who survives, because I didn't read the
book.
I don't remember at all.
It kind of doesn't matter because they're just going to get sucked up to heaven anyway. Like, so it's like, what's the difference?
Yeah.
I mean, I hope some of them die in like a cool way, though.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. It's like,
we're so far out from that. I'm ready to get to that shit.
I know.
It's like, but hopefully this book is where it starts to get interesting, because they did start talking about a bunker, an underground bunker
yeah,
in this, which I was like
that.
let's go.
Yeah, I like that.
I don't like it now where they're just like, we're having Bible study meetings and Buck is moving into a new apartment. Like, oh, bored. I need more. You know what? That's what it was. There was zero Nikolai in these chapters.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why it's bad.
Yeah, that's why it's bad. It's only good. This is like how I watch Star Trek. And if Spock is not on the screen, I'm like, I'm bored. What is this?
Well, what's the point of all this?
What's the point of this? But the second that Spock is back on screen, I'm like, Star Trek's the best show in the world.
Yeah. My assumption is they're going to do a thing where it's like, we continue to do Bible studies. And Chloe found a cheap way to get seeds.
Can I just say that my brain really just did a thing. Before we were recording this podcast, you guys, I was talking to Tim about wanting a Venom Nendoroid, and then my brain was like, Nikolai Carpathia Nendoroid.
Yeah, but he just looks like a white guy.
Yeah. Honestly, you know who I picture in my mind? Mm. I picture Akira from Part 4 of JoJo, the bad guy.
Okay.
Killer Queen.
Okay.
That's kind of like with my mind.
Yeah, no, that's
what
that's
he looks
close.
Like, actually.
That's close.
So I should just get a Killer Queen. I should just get an Akira.
Yeah, I was thinking.
And say that it's Nikolai Carpathia.
Yeah, yeah. Just like cross it out, get a Funko. They should do a Left Behind series
Left
of Funkos.
Left Behind Funkos! Come on, Bruce.
Call us Funko.
Bruce Barnes Funko?
Yeah, I mean, the
Steve
world's.
Steve Plank Funko?
The four most boring looking people on the planet.
Hattie Funko?
Blonde guy, brown haired guy, black haired guy, girl.
Yeah, yeah, girl. She's got her titties out probably.
Oh, yeah,
she's a
she
slut.
Would. She sluts it up. Let's remind people, sort of, because some people might be listening to this first,
totally.
For some reason. But yeah, we are husband and wife. We live here in sunny St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer went to Harvard. I'm a humorist.
Tim's a guy.
I'm a Renaissance. I'm a guy.
Yeah, no, I went to Harvard Divinity School, so I studied ancient Near Eastern religions in undergrad. I was a religion major. I studied New Testament and Old Testament. I studied ancient Greek, ancient Hebrew. So I do have some credentials when it comes to this.
Right.
More importantly, though, Tim and I both grew up mega evangelical. reading these Left Behind
yes,
books.
Yes.
And are now, importantly, atheists.
Yeah.
So we are reading these books so that you don't have to.
Exactly.
These are a book club. You do not need to read along. And in fact, I would encourage you to not do that.
Jennifer uses her childhood versions that we got from
yes,
her house.
Yes, I literally stole them from my parents' house so that I don't have to buy them.
I Google whatever book we're reading, ebook online free, and download whichever is the first hit. Viruses be damned, but that's where we are. I've read all of them that are black.
I fell off somewhere, and I don't remember, and it's been, I mean, I was young, so I don't remember. I only vaguely remember, like, certain kind of large things about the plot. So it's been, it's all basically new to me again, although the general theology of it, I unfortunately know too well.
Yeah, and when I say I've read all of them that are black, that doesn't make any sense anymore.
because in the world of ebooks?
Well, no, because they've changed the standard, what the covers look like.
Oh, they did?
They don't look like that. Oh. I'm pointing at Jennifer's book.
Well, they look pretty sick because it's like a black cover with like a glowing, like, red sun and, like, you know, the, like, metallic.
Yeah,
like,
they look
raised,
great.
Like, with the author's name on it. But, yeah, so
I've read all the ones that are black, and then Jesus comes back at the end of one, and the next one is white, and I haven't read that one. So I don't know if
well, as we discussed, because that sounds fucking boring.
It sounds boring. That's
like, literally, what is there to talk about?
Even as a super Christian.
What conflict is there?
Even as a super Christian, I felt like that was really cringe. So I was like, I don't need to get into that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just, no thank you.
But I think there's like two other books after it.
But unfortunately now you are going to have to read
Because I think they go through the entire 1,000 years.
Oh my, what? Are you kidding me?
No time jumps.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, guys. I don't know if I can make it through that.
Yeah, it's the Boruto of Naruto stuff, you know?
The Boruto of Left Behind.
Where's my Naruto heads out there? Chapter one! Or, I mean, we said the prequel already.
The prologue
and the prequel.
Yeah. We start the book off right off the bat with Raver being fucking boring and annoying and Christian at work. Mm-hmm. He is flying a plane and he cannot stop himself from proselytizing at his co-pilot.
I didn't take a single note for this chapter because I kept waiting for something to deserve it.
And it's actually really funny. The notes are very short for this first chapter because they're not even a page. It's not a full page.
I think the thing to kind of think about going into this, if you are reading it, and I guess if you're listening, we'll outline it more, but it feels like there's two different versions of brainwashing going on here.
Yeah.
Where one is Nikolai and the Earth, because everyone who isn't a Christian is like, come on, man, whatever, it ain't that big a deal. Stop talking about Jesus. And the other one, part of it is, isn't Buck great?
Oh, yeah. Buck is so annoying. He's so annoying in these parts.
I loved him.
Rayford's co-pilot is not interested in being witnessed to.
Yeah.
And I loved him for that.
I don't know if back then, 1995 or 6 or 7 when this book came out, if there was weird shit about, like, don't talk about religion.
Like, HR is going to be – I mean, I would think probably yes. And I do think that actually is probably – it's like a reactionary thing. Against that. I actually want to read out loud a little part of this because Rayford is just like so egregious and kind of rude in this part that it's wild. So let me read here. Rayford repeated himself, pointing to the Bible. It had belonged to the wife he hadn't seen for more than 2 weeks and probably would not see for another 7 years. As long as you don't expect me to listen before this, Rayford had been like, you mind if I read this Bible or whatever? Rayford says, I got that loud and clear, Nick. You understand. I don't care what you think of me, don't you? Sir? Rayford leaned close and spoke louder. What you think of me would have been hugely important a few weeks ago, he said. But, yeah, I know, okay? I got it, Steele, all right? You and lots of other people think the whole thing was Jesus. Not buying. Delude yourself, but leave me out of it. he rocks. Nick rocks. He's correct. He's bolder than I would be because if someone was trying to proselytize to me. Oh, I mean, it's pretty bad. You're stuck in a cockpit. You can't, because I was like, I would pretend I need to go to the bathroom, but.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to go shit for 2 hours.
Yeah,
good luck.
Sorry. Good luck flying the plane.
I like that he's like, I'm being a good boy and not bringing up religion. to my co-pilot and be like, is it cool if I read this Bible? This Bible
I'm just
going to
read this Bible. I'm just doing my devos right now. I'm reading the book of Revelation, which is full of prophecy, by the way.
About what's happening now. Anyways.
You want to hear about that?
Oh, I'm reading out loud, too.
Yeah, so that was really funny to me. And Rayford, says, a little thing about, the only thing I care about is the Bible now. But then is like, actually, I'm going to read the Chicago Tribune, though, which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah, and it was interesting hearing you read the section out of your official book, because I'm like, man, this is confusing the way it's written in mine. Oh, must be mine.
Was it all, broken up weird?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of good breakup. I keep having issues.
No punctuation.
I keep having issues with my goddamn login to the St. Louis Library.
Oh no!
I have it figured out, and then I don't use it, and then I try to do it. I try to do the final step, and it never goddamn works. So maybe I'll figure that out tomorrow.
I will say also, the Left Behind books are pretty easy to find in used bookstores. Mm-hmm. So if you're around a used bookstore, I think all the ones that I did not acquire from my parents' house, I bought from used bookstores.
Got it.
Because, people are getting rid of these shits. So,
this is weird. Why do I have this?
Yeah.
But yeah, the fact that, their conversation back and forth was, very stilted and then quickly goes from, I only wanted to read the Bible. Now, that Chicago Tribune.
Yeah, exactly. It was just okay, weirdo. That was honestly my reaction to many things in these chapters was okay, weirdo.
Was just a long protracted okay.
No, it was literally, I think in the notes I wrote okay drawn out like that multiple times because of people being weird little freaks.
Yeah.
So Rafer's reading in the newspaper about the quote unquote murder suicide that happened at the UN with Jonathan Sonegal.
Yeah, and I love that they pointed so I was kind of confused if it was Ray, what's the word looking for? Editorializing, or it was just common knowledge. It sounds like it's common knowledge where it's Nikolai weirdly scheduled two people to be the head of Great Britain or whatever, and then one of them killed themselves.
Yeah.
It's a little strange that he did that. Whatever.
Yeah, it kind of feels like people just gloss over that or whatever. and Rayford has a funny little thought here. Tim, can you read this part?
Bizarre as it might seem, Rayford Steele was one of only four people on the planet who knew the truth about Nikolai Carpathia, that he was a liar, a hypocrite brainwasher.
No, hypnotic.
Hypnotic brainwasher, the Antichrist himself.
And I only say it because hypnotic is important.
Hypnotic is a good word.
The Antichrist has hypnosis powers, to remind everyone.
And technically, Ray, you're one of five people on Earth that know this.
Because Nikolai knows.
If he's the Antichrist is a person, thank you.
Actually, does he know he's... Does he still... I think he knows now.
I mean,
he's gotta know.
He did it.
He did a murder. Yeah. He did a double murder in the UN. So I'm assuming if he doesn't know at this point that he's the Antichrist, I'm just evil.
Why am I covered in blood?
Why did I kill my friend?
Well, in that case, he knows it,
Yeah, that's true. And then writing notes for this was very difficult because they love to do flashbacks seated within things in weird ways. But Ray has a little flashback where he's thinking about the Tribulation Force meeting and talking about how they're not sure if Carpathia knows that Buck was not really brainwashed.
Which is weird because Carpathia explicitly edited Buck out. So, why did he edit Buck out of the memories of everyone?
Right! That's a great point. He must know.
But that is a plot point, does the Antichrist, my friend Nikolai Carpathia, know? And that comes up a couple times during these first two chapters. And it's bro, he edited you out.
Yeah, no, that's obviously, he must know.
And that's why he got, demoted and sent to Chicago.
Yeah, because he wasn't there. That was the whole thing, is that he got demoted because
I can kick your damn ass.
He didn't go to the fucking meeting, supposedly.
But also, I think he, ran out. So maybe Carpathia is just, covering his damn bases.
Yeah, I don't fucking know. And then at the end of this section, The co-pilot is like, do you want to land the plane? And River's like, I'm in charge of the plane, so I'm going to land the plane.
I'm the captain. All those motherfuckers behind me, I'm in charge. Even though the computer will do it for me, I'll do it.
I'm like, okay, Rayford, we get it. You feel a burden to take care of other people.
Rayford,
shut the fuck up.
Rayford, I know you didn't write this book, but shut the fuck up.
Rayford, I know you're not real, but if you were, I'd fucking kill you.
Stop thinking this stupid shit.
Shut up.
You don't get to see the kingdom of heaven.
No, you don't. You're going to be stuck in a thousand year of hell on Earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hell's real.
Hell is real, and that's where Rayford Steele lives.
All pilots, actually, I believe.
All pilots go to hell. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Buck is trying to get settled here in Chicago, where he's been exiled.
Such a weird turn of events.
Yeah. This section, talking about, like, the ways this book is misogynist.
Insane, man.
So crazy. We meet Verna Z.
Fun name. We've
actually met Verna before.
Yeah, we did.
She was the assistant to Lucinda Washington, who mm-hmm. used to be in charge mm-hmm. of the Chicago branch.
Yeah.
Which, again, this makes zero sense. The assistant to the head of the branch would just become the head of the branch.
Right. I mean, I thought that too. And then I was like, well, the Left Behind just happened. So maybe that was an extenuating circumstance. And like, yo, we just lost a fuck ton of people.
It's a different job. Again, sorry to like, I can't let this go. It bothers me. But Verna is written as like, now that she does have this, you know, this position that she's like, I'm in charge.
Yeah.
She's trying to, like, lord it over Buck that she's his boss now.
She's a boss bitch, a girl boss, all those
things. She's a girl boss. She uses Ms. instead of Miss or Mrs., which I'm like, they're obviously putting that in there to be like, this evil, shrill woman who goes by Ms. So Verna is being a huge bitch and is like, oh, Buck, you're here? Well, I wasn't ready for you, so you're going to have to make an appointment.
Yeah, as it's very clearly set up.
She's
just standing and staring out of her window in her big-ass new office. But the other thing, too, is Buck is a full week early or something crazy
like
that.
He comes on Friday. He's not supposed to show up till Monday.
I've decided that's a full week early, even though it's pretty clear it's Jennifer's correct, which I found out later. I'm like, what is this, a time jump? So it kind of makes sense that he just shows up. And he's like, hey, boss, I'm ready to be told what to do. He's like, bitch, you don't start till tomorrow.
Yeah, like, what are you doing?
But she basically kicks him out of the office and is like, secretary, I need – who has spiky hair, by the way.
Who has spiky – which I actually thought at first that it was Verna with the spiky hair, which would have been more like mm-hmm. she goes by Ms. and she has spiky hair and
well,
she's a bitch.
Well, because in the movie, we're like, is this girl here that we're seeing Verna? But like, you know, again, the movie's not canon. So.
I honestly – almost completely forgotten the movie already.
Yeah, same.
Except for like the final scene where they're in the room and the shooting is happening, mm-hmm. which is very sick.
That part was sick. Hilarious that she's like, all right, Buck, you cannot go see your freaking cubicle. Alice cannot see you.
Yeah.
Alice, if there's any appointments, I'll see Buck. He's like, okay, you're free. Like, set something up for 20 minutes. So Buck just sits there and they start like chatting, him and Alice, because Buck has all the charisma.
Yeah, and everyone's just falling all over me. So funny and smart.
But Miss Z, she's not falling for his damn tricks.
No, she hates him.
She shrilly like yells out like, stop talking.
Yeah. Stop having fun out there.
Which implies that she can hear outside her office, thus invalidating the entire reason one might have an office.
Mm-hmm.
How is she able to hear everyone so goodly? Tim LaHaye, you dumb bitch.
He doesn't know how offices work.
He's like, I only know about planes.
Tim LaHaye, have you ever worked in an office? Like, because I feel like he's always been like a church man. So he's probably just always worked at the church.
Yeah, he's like, my office is the Lord.
My office is the Lord. I have one room here. So yeah, she makes him wait for the appointment. And while he's waiting, Buck has this thought that just like absolutely flabbergasted me. Which is that at least he was in Chicago with the only people he knew who really cared about him. Bro, bitch. Your family's literally alive.
Yeah, later.
Your dad and brother are alive. alive.
Yeah, but they're not Christians, Jennifer.
So who cares about them?
Later, next chapter, Rayford's like, the three most important people to me. And like, dude, you guys are in a fucking cult.
You just met each other. Yeah, this is cult shit.
This
You're
is
building
cult shit.
An underground bunker together 2 weeks after you met.
Two of you are about to like start hooking up.
Hey, this is super cult
This
territory.
Is a cult territory right here. I'll tell you that much right now.
The book does a thing here that pisses me off where it does like a, we just go to Rayford for like a second.
Which is what they did all the time last
book. Yeah, it's so annoying. He lands in Chicago and Chloe's there.
Who gives a shit?
Who fucking cares? Yeah, exactly. They're gonna, Bruce, the pastor of New Hope Church, has called an emergency meeting of the Tribulation Force for
because
tonight.
Alice, the secretary, is like, Buck, a bitch called for you.
Yeah, yes.
One of your bitches.
One of your bitches called.
And he's like, huh? Cool.
Okay.
And then we're like, I bet that was Chloe.
Right.
Hey,
right.
Turns out it was
Chloe.
Chloe.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a little bit of that, like Chloe's calling, and then she has Raver call.
We're,
blah blah blah.
We're on to you.
That
not
I didn't
you.
Even like put in the notes. It's, I like, started to. And I'm like,
and who gives
who
a shit?
Cares?
Who fucking cares?
They're doing like weird like. We haven't said we like each other, and so we're like being really weird about how the way we interact with each other.
Yeah, like the non quote unquote moving plot forward. A bit of it is 100% Chloe and Buck being like, ooh!
Should I pursue love in the tribulation?
Because if we don't, you know, we're going to pine after each other and have lust.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
We're just going to fuck.
And then you can't jerk off because God
right.
hates that
yeah.
too.
I was curious. They should have a jerk-off scene pretty early.
They should. Imagine.
That's my question. Why? Where are they How are they getting from place to place if they're not saying it?
Yeah.
What happens when they sleep? Are they jerking
off?
Are
they jerking off? Are they pissing?
Are they pissing?
Are they shitting?
We know they eat.
They do eat.
Which
we know
is,
that.
And,
they,
you know, we're obviously joking about, like, you know, oh, I read media, and if I see a train coming at me, I'm afraid type shit. But, like, they do slow down often to go through the most boring logistics.
It's like this truly – needed an editor very badly.
I wouldn't be surprised
if they help with this.
In Lost, there was people – since in Lost, there's only a handful of guns. And then slowly but surely, they would get more guns.
Like, where do they come from? And the guns are, like, fucking each other and having gun babies.
And that's very ignorant. And there was, like, someone whose job was literally to track the guns. And be like, all right, Sawyer had it. He lost it. Kate has
so
it.
Funny.
They find a new one. So Sawyer actually has a backup one. No one knows. So Sawyer has three guns. They shoot four bullets. We're out on this bullet.
But you don't like make that part of your media. Like you do need to keep track of these things.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell us about it.
Right. Exactly.
Like, just get them there.
And in this book, they're like, they got a sandwich.
Like, can I be?
Shut up.
Can I be honest right now?
Mm.
This reminds me of the way that some bad fan fiction I've read is like just a lot of like, okay, they did this, and then they did this, and then they did this. I'm
yes.
like, I don't
Can I give the
care.
Book its flowers and the fact that, like...
Yeah, let's hear it.
The fact that it's bad is that it's good. You know what I'm
okay,
saying?
Okay, well,
because
yeah.
it's just like, I'm just reading a dumb book, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, it is like a quick read.
Yeah.
Like, it's a quick-ass read.
Everything negative... Not everything.
I assume is it like about a third grade reading level?
Exactly. That's the thing. It's like a lot of the negatives, not all of them, I almost said all of them, but a lot of the negatives we're saying actually makes it an easier read.
Which is why it was probably
it's
so popular.
Bad. It's negative on every axis, but you take that negative on every axis bowl and you shave it on top of the Bloomin' Onion, which is this delicious book.
Wow.
Of like, yeah, it sucks, but it doesn't get in your way.
Yeah.
You know? It just slides down your throat like all American food covered in grease and microplastics. You know what I'm saying? And I appreciated that. I really appreciated this is an airport ass book written by an
it
old
really
white man.
It really is an airport ass book.
Let's give it up for them.
Can we give it up for the, because again, like Tim LaHaye came up with this concept, I believe, while he was on an airplane.
Like,
so,
man, I'd be fucked up.
Damn,
right?
I wish I had a cool book to read while I was on this airplane about the rapture.
I wish. Man, I wonder what would happen if he, like, thought of it when he was, like, I don't know, at a Golden Corral. And then Rayford is just a manager at the Golden Corral.
At the Golden Corral, but instead because he thought of it while he was on the plane, then that's a bad pilot.
Because then Buck has to interview the manager of Golden Corral and be like, everyone respects this guy.
Yeah.
And we all have to read, like, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we respect the manager of the Golden Corral. So, yeah, so Rayford calls Buck, lets him know about the emergency Tribulation Force meeting. And then Verna finally meets with Buck.
And it's just so stupid because, like, they take – It's not that long. But again, when you're reading it, there's so many times they have to be like, they call here, they do this, yeah, no, they, like, do that,
right,
they
no.
do this, they call, they set this, leave a message, they do this. And maybe it's because, you know, we love answer machines back in 97 or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
But like, it would have been so much better if Buck just fucking got the message from Alice so that Buck
could
have
just
smirked.
Keep talking. Yeah, exactly.
And then he could, and we could introduce the Chloe shit here, and it would be like a fun distraction.
I mean, I guess there was a little bit of the, like, he was using Alice's phone, and Verna was like, oh, we'll get you a phone soon. So, like, I guess that was, like, kind of a, like, his shit's not right. I don't know.
Yeah,
whatever. Exactly. No, it would have been better the way you said it, for sure. Verna is going into this meeting ready to just absolutely bust Buck's balls.
Yeah. She fucking sucks, but if we put on our absolutely 110% glued on Buck hater hat, you can kind of get where she's coming from. Slightly.
He deserves it.
She's a huge C word.
Yeah, she's a huge C word, but Buck is so fucking annoying.
Yeah.
That, like, probably Verna's, like, really nice to everyone else. Except for that's not true.
I think it's very implied.
I think it's very implied she's not. That she's, like, one of those people that's like, I have gotten a modicum of power, and I have already gone crazy with it.
Because she's kind of pissed at him for a couple of reasons. One, everyone that knows him is, because he's so good and popular.
Right.
But when he's swung by Chicago previously, he was like, what the fuck are you doing? Listen in his room.
Yeah.
Regardless.
Yeah. Like, so they already got off to a bad foot.
Yeah.
And so she's like, ready to put him in his place.
And the way that, you know, this book in these series writes women, and not just women, but like non-Christians too at the same time. Or
yes, yes.
Like 100%. There's always, you know, very quickly who's good and who's bad.
Yes.
And again, we're thankful for that.
Yeah. There's no shade of gray
and
in these things.
It would have been more interesting if Buck was shitty to start off with, but he wasn't.
Right.
He got pretty shitty.
He did get shitty. He got reactive. Because she was being, I mean, she definitely was being, like,
oh, yeah.
She was digging at him.
I never want to defend Buck, but, like, he went off in the appropriate way and brought down the managerial class, and I respect him.
Yeah, that is true. Like, I'm a comrade, and in this situation,
yeah.
I don't like the boss.
So he's our comrade right now.
Not for long, though.
Yeah, he moves to the suburbs.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's all like, hey, smart boy, you're not going to be writing your big flashy.
Hey, worm.
Yeah, worm, you're my bitch now. You're not going to be writing cool stories anymore.
I'm going to make you do a story on my feet.
I'm boring shit.
You'll
do whatever I tell you to. And you're going to sit at this desk that sucks ass. Where the coffee pot was.
I dropped this. Yeah, man. She set up the – it's so obvious. And then, like – this whole Buck starts, like, losing his mind. Laser, the cat, stop.
Laser's being...
Stop.
Guys, can I be real with you? Laser's been very bad
for the past
24 hours. He was being such a fool last night, and now he's in here acting a fool again.
Yeah, update since last season. We let the cat sleep in our bed.
Yeah. It's been mostly fine, but last night was not good.
Laser
was being very annoying.
I think, listener, it's because Laser was asleep on the couch, and then he woke up at like 6 a.m. He's like, oh, like,
hello?
Where's people?
Hello?
It's people time. I'm awake. Anyways.
And he's a little prince, and he refuses to go under the blanket.
I had to yell at Jennifer this morning.
He would not stop bapping me in the head.
You gotta throw
And him. Asking, let me under the blanket.
But then I
opened the blanket, listener, and he's like, I don't know.
And listener, I'm there trying to sleep, and you hear pap, 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 and you feel the vibrations. And we don't need to get into it.
I'm sorry. I will try a different method. In my defense, he was bapping my head so much. It was very annoying.
You got to punch him in the head.
I can't. He's a little guy. He's my little prince. fuck.
What were we talking about?
I don't remember.
Anyways, they argue, and the whole thing is like,
he's so stupid.
Like, on the way out of the office when Ms. Z is going to show him his shit-ass cubicle next to the coffee pot, she's like, you might have a computer in 2 weeks. Or, you can go cover the local hog farm.
Yes.
And then
she's really enjoying it,
yeah.
Which, honestly, like, she should.
At this point, yeah, she's so bad that it's like, man, whatever.
I gotta give it up.
And, yeah, like, even Buck is talking to the secretary being like, hey, some of my stuff is being shipped from Chicago or from New York and whatever, so it might come through here. Can you help me? And he just pauses to say that when Verna just, like, screams at him across the office, like, follow me now!
Do it!
And it's so bad. And then they're, like, going back and forth, and he's like, bitch, call Stanton Bailey.
Yeah. Like, call him now!
Call him now. And I kind of forgot where they left off with Stanton Bailey. And I was a little nervous.
Right. So like, oh, Satan's going to be like, yeah, keep him in the corner.
Yeah, yeah. Because Buck's in the shithouse, parentheses, Chicago.
Right. yeah.
So I wasn't too sure.
He's been banished from New York City. can I bring up one thing that happened in this section that's important to me? Buck, because Verna is like, you, everyone needs to call me Miss Z. And mm-hmm. Buck's are like, oh, aren't you worried? That sounds like Missy. Like, he's got to get a weird digging, like a weird sexist dig at her. Like, okay, Buck.
He's right to say it.
Ugh. Meanwhile, now, again, going to a very quick stint over to Rayford again. Hey. He gets a call from the chief, the king of pilots, the chief pilot.
I had to read this seven times to figure out what the fuck this meant.
Who is this? And the guy is like, hey, man, you gotta stop witnessing at work.
You gotta shut the crap up, you weirdo.
Stop talking about Jesus, you freak. It's annoying everyone.
I don't care. I'm not gonna put Jesus freak in the podcast again, but go back to when I did that.
Could you do like a really like melted, like crispy version of Jesus freak?
That's what I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I took Jesus freak and I didn't want to get a copyright strike, so I found a really fucked up version. Made it like lo-fi and then stretched it and then brought it back, slowed it down, saved it, then re-uploaded it.
Okay, personally, I don't know why you would not include that again. I think that we need.
I don't know if I have the file.
I've been telling Tim we need to get a soundboard for this podcast. I think we should get, because Jesus Freak would be something from that would be a good soundboard sound.
I mean, you're not wrong, but we would have to do it live.
Guys, it would have to be live, exactly. No, I want access to it. I want to drop the soundboard. Mm-hmm. We'll see. I just really want to
see what happens.
So, yeah. the king of pilots is like, stop that. and he says, like, basically implying, like, if you don't stop him, I have to write you up. And Rayford, can you read this part for me, please?
Write me up. Did I break a rule, violate procedure, commit a crime?
This part made me so annoyed because it's all like, is it a crime to try to spread the love of Jesus to other people? Like, it is actually.
And this is where why I brought up before the global, brain hypnosis domination.
Yeah.
Because the fact that like Rayford was just lightly annoying meant that. And this is going to happen. We talked about it before. This will happen through all the books. And it makes some amount of sense from, you know, obviously where they're coming from. And because there are no Christians left. All Christians got yoinked. And now all Christians are just new Christians. So everyone left is already a bad person.
Right.
But this whole vibe of everyone is like so shitty.
All the non-Christians so quickly, are like evil.
Which makes sense, but even now, when Christians, you know, are so bad and everyone fucking hates them, we're not that bad to them.
Sorry, like, as if the world would not be made immediately better if if the rapture actually happened and the people who believe in this actually were raptured.
And as we've said before, the podcast is a staunch believer that all religion should be illegal.
Yeah, sorry. That's what I'm saying. It should be illegal. Mm-hmm. It is against the law. Rayford.
It's insane.
It's against my law.
It's insane. it's insane. It works out this way in the book, and it's a really easy crutch, and it will continue on in the most cartoonish ways because we're not in charge. Because if we were in charge, Jennifer, then it would be worse than this, and the book would be much more interesting.
It would be. So at the end of it, the king of pilots is like, okay, dude, like, are you going to stop? Because this could seriously, like, cause you to lose your job. Mm-hmm. And Rafer's like, I'm going to have to think about it.
Like, oh, God, start it, Ray. Don't make me do this. Come on, Ray. Just say what up. We can make it.
I need someone to learn to fly a 757.
Yeah, well, a lot of plane talk.
Again, Tim LaHaye is, like, freaky. He's obsessed with planes. Or Jeremy Jenkins. Maybe they both are.
I mean, if we had the soundboard, we'd hit the plane button. Not sure what that would be. Might just be a really loud screeching plane. And then after a couple comments, like, we will no longer be using the soundboard. Thank you.
We are sorry. So back over to Buck and Verna. Buck is trying to stunt on Verna by being like, oh, you want to call Stanton Bailey? Well, I have his direct after hours line.
Have you ever done this at work?
Me?
Yeah, like if someone's being shitty to you.
Oh, I've definitely stunted on. Yeah.
Yeah, when they're like, oh, should we call the manager? Let's do it now, bitch.
I mean, I haven't done like that, but
I have it rocked.
But I like being shitty, like when people are like in a like, per my previous email, or like attaching things kind of way.
Word.
Or like, but trust me, listener, more subtle than that. Like, my craft of hate is more honed.
Right. Yeah, I've literally done the, like, oh, you think the manager will be mad? I don't think so. Let's call Tina right now, Sarah, you stupid bitch.
Fuck you. That's real.
That's those are real names.
That's real.
I don't live in Boston anymore. I don't give a fuck. I hate you so much.
So, yeah.
Tina agreed with me.
Yeah, no, it was...
She said that hiring you, Sarah, was one of the worst things she ever did.
Wow.
So maybe don't yell at me for taking a shit.
Wow.
That happened.
So Verna is having this conversation with Stanton in her office.
Yes.
By herself.
By herself.
And Buck in the secretary.
It's private as hell.
Private. Except for Alice, the secretary, who also hates the wretched Verna, is like, I'm going to help you eavesdrop because I have this new fancy phone that allows me to listen in and they can't hear us. So we overhear the conversation with
Stan
Bailey.
Which I thought was lightly clever.
Now, that was fine. Yeah, that was funny.
It lightly doesn't make any sense because they've implied that Verna can hear through the wall super easily.
Right, so could she not hear herself talking?
Unless they had the phone up to their ears maybe between them, possible, maybe regardless. Maybe. But it is technically a clever way to hear the conversation, and I gotta give him props.
Yeah, that part was good and funny. And yeah, basically, Stanton's like, listen, just leave him alone. Let him work from home. I'm gonna still give him his assignments.
Yeah.
Just don't deal, like, remove yourself.
Yeah, and she's like, he needs to apologize. What, did he touch you?
He's very insubordinate to me.
Like, oh, did he, like, freaking grab your ass or,
hit on you, big old smooch?
And she's like, no. He's like, good, well, you're a dumb bitch.
pretty much. It was like, shut up. Now, this is not your decision.
If your emotions are getting in the way, I might fire you. And I was like, hell yeah.
I did like the way I thought that he handled it in a good, shitty way where he was like, are you really asking me to, like, adjudicate this, personal, like, disagreement
right,
between you two? Which I feel is a really good way of just being like, you're being a little bitch baby right now.
Right. And this is the part where I'm like, Buck is also able to hypnotize people because Stanton doesn't know Buck can hear him.
Right.
And like, he gives Buck everything he wants because Buck is like, I'm not fucking sitting in this cubicle by the coffee machine. I'm just gonna,
I need my fax machine. I need a computer. That's huge.
Yeah. You know, friggin', I'll just work from home. This fucking sucks. I have respect. I'm not gonna take this. And she's like, you better watch out, you dumb nerd. And he's like, I bet. And Stanton's just like, do whatever he said.
Yeah. No, she did. That did not turn out well for her.
Yeah. But she doesn't know that Buck hurt her.
Yeah.
So she comes out and is like, I decided that you should work from home.
Yeah. It's very, very funny. Like, knowing, having heard it.
And he just kind of like smugly looked at her.
Okay.
And then
the chapter ends with Rayford and Chloe showing up to New Hope Church for the emergency tribulation.
Let's go!
Emergency meeting. Wait, I said emergency twice. It's really an emergency.
Emergency meeting.
Let's go! I love, like, number one, why was this here at the end of this chapter? It should have just been moved to the front of the next one.
They're better at
it. Number two, like, they're like, okay, this is really important that we get this in this chapter. Bruce looks fucking older than he is. Like, they've gotta get a dig in. Like, Bruce looks like shit.
He's eating a sandwich.
I don't even remember that.
He ordered a sandwich.
Oh, okay. Well,
Buck and Chloe got one on the way. And I was really curious.
You mean Rayford and Chloe.
What did I say? Rayford and Chloe.
Just because it's important that they're not together.
And they're not eating together. I'm like, what did they get?
Tell me about your sandwich.
Did you go to McDonald's? It's hard to think of Ray going to McDonald's.
It makes me sad thinking about it. I'm just like reading the Bible at McDonald's. You know, he's got his little cup of coffee.
My dad does that at Panera.
I know. That's what I was thinking about.
Him and his buds go to Panera and read the Bible. What up?
Oh, my God.
Chapter 2.
The last chapter ended with Chloe and Rayford showing up to the church, and chapter 2 starts with Buck showing up to the church.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, okay. Roller coaster. Why did you do this? And Buck has a little, like, internal, like, thought process where, like, Rayford, like, hugs him and, like, Bruce hugs him. He's like,
oh, man.
This is, like, kind of weird.
This is weak shit.
Yeah, I don't know if I like this. And Buck is a little stressed about the meeting because he's like, I mean, we meet regularly. So the fact that he wants to have an emergency meeting, like, something must be up.
And I thought the same thing, too.
you were like, oh no.
Oh, let's hear
what
it.
Has happened.
What exciting thing is going to happen in this chapter? Turns out, nothing.
Not, well, I mean, nothing we didn't know already. Like, right. The other thing that's kind of going on in the back of, like, Buck's brain in this time is that he's like, man, I have a crush on Chloe, but I don't think it's right to pursue her at the time
yeah,
like this.
Yeah, she's 17, I'm 27.
I'm 27.
No, I mean, she's no, like easily 19 or
she's
20.
She's 20 yeah. and he's 30, is yeah. I believe. Or, yeah, she's 20. I think they confirmed that.
He's a groomer and canceled.
Yeah, he's canceled. I mean, we just retreading territory that mm-hmm. we trod last season. Mm-hmm. Buck has just really got a lot of like feelings inside of him right now. That's yeah. like pretty much this whole part is just Buck is having feelings inside of himself.
And I did like that later in this chapter, Rayford admits it. He's like, I'm all over the fucking place, man.
Yeah, that is I thought it was actually good.
He's like, I'm crying. Yeah, I'm angry.
I used to think men who cried were bitches, but now look at me, I'm crying all the time.
I cried for the second time in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, so in addition to being, like, kind of stressed about the emergency meeting and having angst about Chloe, he is also wigging out because he feels guilty because he eavesdropped on yeah. the conversation earlier.
And this is,
I already forgot her name.
Verna.
Verna. I was like, Vera? That's not right.
And this goes, again, to the politics, the societal politics of the books, is this idea that comes up, which is, there's two things around. Can you do certain jobs and be a Christian? Can yeah. a journalist do their job and be a Christian? The answer is no. Unless they figure out some way to only tell the truth. Cause Buck is like, I lied and all the time.
Yeah. Cause to get in with people, like, you gotta stretch the truth sometimes.
You gotta get those scoops.
And here's the thing. I was thinking about this. How is this gonna work out for them in this whole tribulation force thing? Cause like, you cannot tell me they're not going to be in situations where it's like, if you tell the truth, this is going to be dangerous.
I think that explicitly comes up.
Like, so they have to decide, like, mm-hmm. how to approach lying?
Yeah. Yeah. I think their whole thing is, like, they don't lie still, but they, like, talk around it.
That is so stupid to me. It's like, yeah. you're essentially lying. You are lying.
I have to
by
believe.
By talking around it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's going to be a lot of that. I feel like
what is the difference?
I feel like the vibe is a C or D tier character is going to get shot in the back of the head with an AK-47.
Because he refused to lie.
And we're supposed to be like, damn, nice
job.
Wow,
he's so – that's good to do,
I
actually.
Guess that's good that you did it, I guess.
So we have – Buck shows up. We have all these internal, like, thoughts in his brain. And then the perspective switches to Rayford.
What did
like,
Buck eat?
Buck is here. Yeah. What
did Buck eat?
Well, I guess he didn't eat yet because the whole thing is they invite – him to dinner?
But he's like, I ate.
Oh, that's right.
What did he eat?
Buck, what'd you eat? Did you have a slice of Chicago pizza pie?
He said, I'm not hungry.
He said, I'm not hungry.
He got Portillo's.
Oh, I would like to have that. Rayford notices that once Buck arrives, like, Bruce had been, like, pretty chill. I'm like, oh, hey, how are you doing? The second the Buck gets there, he gets really serious.
Right.
And like, immediately is, like, about to cry.
And then there's, like, what to me felt like a several minute long, like, Bruce freakout scene. Where
is he having,
Rayford,
like, a panic attack? Like, yeah, what is happening?
Because it's, like, he's not – the way that I read it, it might not be true, but again, whatever. He's not stumbling over trying to get the information out.
No.
He's stumbling – to be able to start it.
Yes.
So he's just like freaking out. And then he does open it with like, I just feel such a weight on my shoulders specifically for you three.
Yes. Like, so he feels so much responsibility.
Yes.
For that. He literally says, I feel the press of God on me.
Mm.
Like, oh, okay. That sounds right.
Gay. A little gay to me.
It's a little gay. But the way they talk, multiple times actually in these chapters, there's like things and I'm like, That's pretty gay.
Yeah. Buck is like, I don't want to fuck Chloe, but I do, but I should be wanting to fuck God.
I already am in love with the Lord.
And they explicitly say that word for word, which is weird.
But, yeah, they did say fuck, which I was surprised
like,
about.
Whoa!
So while Bruce is like trying to get himself together, Rayford is like having this reaction internally, and he thinks to himself, before his wife and son had disappeared, he had not wept in years. He had always considered emotion weak and unmanly. But since the disappearances, he had seen many men weep.
Yeah, and I'm baffled by this line of reasoning because it makes sense. And are they trying to break down toxic masculinity?
Yeah, right? Like, what are I think that actually kind of makes sense though, because this type of evangelical dude, they love to go to like men's conferences and like cry together.
You're just talking about my dad again.
I'm sorry, I am
what
talking
else?
About your dad.
What else?
Did your dad go to Promise Keepers?
Oh yeah, he took me one time.
Oh my god. Yeah. Woo, my dad also went to Promise Keepers.
My dad. Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. This, you know, I like how my dad is like this, kind of, because very touchy, very
comfortable brother. That's a good thing, but the thing is that I know that it's coming from the Christianity, and I don't love that part of it.
No. But what are you going to do?
I don't like that. But no, I think it's, there was a thing, QAnon Anonymous podcast did an episode about this, the mythopoetic men's movement, which was like a thing, I believe in the 90s, where it was like, oh, like men should be allowed to feel emotions, and we're gonna go out in the woods and like be raw,
jack each other off and cry.
I mean, kind of. Hell like yeah. It was a little bit like that, but it's that weird thing of like, we're men, and therefore we cry together, like men.
I like that.
So that's kind of the vibe that I get. It's like, actually, it's manly to cry.
Yeah, it's
so it's not like they're not actually breaking down toxic masculinity. They're just like redefining it to like work with Christianity better or something.
Right, because the Rafer that insists on landing the plane is, you know, logically consistent with the Rafer that cries and hugs and evangelizes.
Evangelizes.
I said that word correct.
Yeah, don't question it.
Evangelizes.
So Bruce finally kind of starts to talk about,
he's like, all right, Jesus,
what is going on? And he says that because so much is happening, he's been keeping CNN on all the time, which is obviously not great for his state of mind. Which is, guys, that's the same as now.
So true.
Being aware of the news all the time is not good for you.
I don't suggest it.
I do it. I'm not better off for it at all.
Should we just have CNN on at all times?
Oh my god, I can't imagine. That would be so annoying.
We're an MSNBC house, you know what I'm saying?
I feel like we're more of a get my news via people's Substacks.
We're a Hassan Pakar.
Yeah. I get my news from Chapo Trap House and from QAnon Anonymous and podcasts, you know, like a true enlightened person.
Yeah, of course.
So yeah, this is where Bruce is all like, okay, I've been watching the news, everything's bad, and I really feel the press of God on me. And then he goes into like, guys, I'm so sad and lonely, my house is so empty, sometimes I don't even go sleep there.
Which is really funny, because later in the chapter, they invite Buck to like live with them until he gets furniture.
Yeah,
they don't say shit to Bruce.
No, not even a thought. Like
oh, this is awkward.
And he's like, ooh. Yeah, I really do get the Rafer's like, I don't like this.
And the fact that Chloe didn't jump in either is like, no, I'm good.
No,
I'm
this is weird. Good. They're doing the like awkward, like barely touching someone pat, like, oh, there.
They do all touch him. They do say that.
Yeah. But the good news is, guys, like, Bruce is so lonely and sad that he can just spend all his time reading the Bible.
Hell yeah,
now.
That's a win, baby.
Yeah, he's fucking obsessed with the Bible. Then we get a pivot to Buck's viewpoint, where he's also very horny for the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
He's like, I am all about that Bible these days.
They love to read it. Which is weird, because it's very boring.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Can I say again, the way this is written, we switch from a Rafer to a Buck viewpoint, but it's just Bruce talking.
Whiplash.
Like the whole time. So like we continue to pick up on what Bruce is talking about.
I'm curious if you think we got our first Chloe point of view later in this chapter.
Oh, I didn't.
They refer to Rafer as dad for like half a second. We don't really go inside her brain. I got no idea.
Oh, family. I don't know. I didn't notice that. Mm-hmm. And I'm almost like, was this supposed to be in quotation marks or something? And your book, your version is too jank to you know, have the correct punctuation. Tim, hearing this part made me want to K-word myself. This is what Bruce is saying about the word of the Lord.
Bruce saith, "Now I know what people meant when they said they feasted on the word. Sometimes I sit drinking in it for hours, losing track of time, forgetting to eat, weeping and praying."
Was Jesus, dude.
Damn, like, keep some things private.
God, yeah, man, this Christ. Is like actually embarrassing. You do not seem like you're doing well.
I'm so alone.
I mean, it is like, obviously, like Rayford and Chloe have lost family too, but at least they have each other. Bruce is fully alone with the Bible.
Right.
And like, that's it.
And let us say, everything that Bruce is doing makes sense. It's just, again, the way it's written is like,
it's just pathetic.
Yeah. In this universe, and they're like, cross-world media promotion, like cinematic universe, it's embarrassing. But yeah, it makes total sense. It's all realistic.
But. I mean, having emotions is embarrassing. We can all agree
that showing an emotion is.
Having emotions, embarrassing. Showing them, even more embarrassing.
It is weakness. It is cringe. It is bad.
You gotta lock it down. Push it way down, man. Until it becomes a diamond inside of you.
It's your strength. And if your stomach hurts all the time, that's what alcohol's for.
That's the emotions. So God is showing Bruce a lot of things that he's like, this might get me ridiculed and potentially killed if I say this out in public.
Which is kind of fun that he's going so hard. This is the closest this chapter gets to being interesting.
Yes, 100%.
Is when they go full prepper mode.
Yes.
And I, you know, from my memory, I really liked that aspect of the books.
Absolutely. To the extent, I don't know if I've actually brought this up before, but as a youth, based on reading the Left Behind books, I started to write my own book about a world where Christians were hunted.
Let's get that out. Let's
read it. I think I have it.
I didn't know this.
It's only a few pages. It will be very embarrassing. I'm not sure how old I was. I mean, I must have been like, probably like 11.
I mean, I wrote 12. A book about how Blastoise was my friend, so okay, we're equal.
No, that's actually way cooler than what I wrote. That is less embarrassing than what I wrote.
Uh-huh. Like, yeah, he was my friend.
All around. That occurred to me while I was reading this, because I remember how excited I got about the, like, oh, they're hiding, and they're, like, having to, like, do schemes to, like, get away from the bad guys.
And that's why I'm like, they have to do a time jump, because it's so interesting the way that they kind of outline the cool shit.
No, they're gonna like lovingly detail how they used the Earth Mover to dig out space to make their underground bunker.
I will not allow.
They talked about it. They went so deep into the plan. I'm proud they were gonna do that.
I will not allow you to besmirch that section.
Oh my god, Tim loved it, of course.
That's what I'm saying. What did Buck eat? Why?
Like, if you're gonna do it, like, give me all the details.
Yeah, there's absolutely zero bit for the audience to, like, fill in.
No
pun intended. No. For their bunker chat later on.
You need to know they've thought it out. Thought out all the potential problems.
Yeah, so like freaking Bruce is like, nothing like explicitly happens. It's just that Carpathia is like, yeah man, we're moving forward with our plans that we all talked about. We're moving freaking the UN to the new Babylon, and we kind of knew that already, but I mean, part of it is like, the four of them knew because of Buck, and now that he's actually saying it. But again, a lot of the stuff was already said, publicly.
But I think that they didn't know the significance necessarily of these things, because they're not as deep in the word of the Lord as Bruce is.
I did like that Bruce was like, even if Buck's fucking lying about the UN thing, like,
he's clearly the Antichrist. Okay, the big thing, though, that triggers Bruce freaking out is the talk on the news about, like, brokering a treaty with Israel. Yes. That's the thing, because, and we get confirmation here, the tribulation has not started yet.
Correct.
It will start when a treaty with Israel is signed.
Right, because last season we talked a lot about this, of like, you know, it probably doesn't matter but maybe it does, but maybe it doesn't.
Yeah.
Okay, so turns out
it doesn't matter.
And this has came up a lot in like our Game of Thrones podcast of just like vaguely ruminating on like who should be king. And it's like it doesn't matter, but like this opinion is totally wrong, but it's also valid. And I was curious if they were going to keep that sword fluidity. No, absolutely not.
And I was like, no, well, that's the thing. Like, I find it very unlikely. Bruce, who has like no teachers here to guide him, is just like, I know exactly. But I guess the pastor left shit behind. So like, maybe he's getting access to all the crazy ass Tim LaHaye books that are, you know, Hal Lindsey, late great planet Earth, like whatever.
And I guess this is
reading the guidelines there.
A plug for our Patreon.
Yes.
Or was that?
No, that was a free one.
That was a free up.
Fuck. Everyone, but we'll do more like that.
Well, we only did it because of Patreon.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, if you're listening to this and you have not listened to the episode we did about dispensationalism, you should listen to it.
Get in there.
It's the last one before this. It explains a lot about how this concept of the rapture, like, became a thing here in America and became so huge here. It's a pretty interesting story.
Yeah, and if you want to listen to the Patreon, you can listen to Jennifer and I get really drunk and watch the Left Behind movie.
Oh my god, we were like, I was losing my mind. Anyway.
It sounds incomprehensible, but you're like, oh damn, they're drunk. No. We were.
I was drunk on the Left Behind movie.
Also the Left Behind movie.
Yeah. So the thing that's really like setting Bruce off is the whole like the possibility of signing a treaty with Israel, because that is going to, you know, signal the start, the official start of the tribulation.
And the reason why I'm kind of being a little more critical here is because it doesn't matter being critical. We're not reviewing these books. But still, like to nail home that it was boring is because Nikolai doesn't say anything.
No.
He just says, stay tuned for an announcement about Israel. Stay tuned for an announcement about America.
Yeah.
So that's what makes Bruce have this spiral. Is like, fuck, they're going to announce the 7-year treaty with Israel. And also, which is the stupidest shit in the world to me, they're like flipping through the Bible and being like, America's not in here. That's weird.
Oh my God. That part, I also was underlining that, where Bruce is like, as much as I look, I just don't see the U.S. playing a big role in this.
Which, like, you can find America in there because there's, like, shit about eagles, so whatever.
Yeah, well, okay, and also, like, motherfucker, if there is any kind of, like, evil, like, overall, like, apocalypse world government thing happening, you know America's involved. Yeah,
motherfucker.
The CIA is, like, freaking, like, slathering, like, they're drooling, they're so excited. Oh,
I mean, the CIA would never let this happen, which is why this makes no sense.
Bitch, the CIA would be like, we work for the Antichrist.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, if they got rid of Stonegall and it was Stonegall and fucking J. Edgar Hoover Jr. or something like that.
Yeah,
like, no. What are you going to do?
They definitely would.
But yeah, so that's kind of why it didn't bother me, obviously, but like, it would have been more exciting.
Oh, yeah.
If this was set 3 days from now, and or like they jumped forward 3 days and they were like, Nikolai said this shit.
He announced it.
So things are moving quickly, but Bruce is very scared because once – it's weird because, like, it's only been 2 weeks. So much has happened, but it's really being beaten home in the book that they are starting at a loss. They are behind the curve.
They're behind the curve.
Which makes sense.
And also, like, the clock, once it starts, is, like, ticking down.
Exactly. So anytime before – this treaty with Israel is free time. So he's basically like, we have to get as much stuff done before that happens. And motherfucker, once that happens, we got to go quick. Because that is when, in 18 months, something bad is going to happen.
And like a fourth of the fucking world is going to be dead.
Because remember, like the judgments, they kind of spell out sort of like 75, 80% through in the last book. Basically, every couple years, months, whatever, a couple times, one fourth of the planet dies.
Yeah. So just like he's like cutting down every time.
And the first time this is going to happen post rapture is in 18 months. 18 months after the treaty goes into place. So we know 18 months after the treaty happens, something fucked up is going to happen in the book.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And again, Bruce is like, I don't see America in the Bible, so...
Do you think they're going to get to that 18 months? I have no idea.
I have no idea where the thing for which happens to America happens.
I am crying out for blood. I need to see Havoc.
Chekhov's bunker? Please, give it to me.
Come on. So, oh, Bruce also points out that all this shit is going down while there's, like, a meeting of the leaders of all the major world religions.
Yeah.
This is the part that is, like, the least believable to me. Because, like, I mean, I think that even Chloe's like, what? Like, these religions, like, they don't agree on anything. What are you talking
about?
Yeah,
and later in – it's weird, right? Because this does go along with the thing that I've been saying is how kind of – broad and stupid they paint non-Christians here, and the whole vibe of like, okay, duh, we're gonna have one world religion just because the Antichrist did it, and one world currency. But you know, like Jennifer said, Chloe thinks it won't happen. And then later in this chapter, Ray is watching the news, mm-hmm. and there is a news anchor like, come on, you know, this is not gonna happen. This will be Nikolai's first setback.
Yeah, which I did appreciate at least. Yep. Like, just like, oh, it actually does make sense that they're not freaking out about it, because right. they're like, this is stupid and
so
never
gotta give happen. Gotta give the flowers there.
Yeah, I will give them that. and there was a little aside here that I really enjoyed, which is they're talking about the whole, like, one more religion, and Chloe's like, that's not gonna happen. And she says, who'd fall for that? And Bruce is like, scripture indicates that many will.
Okay. According to the Bible, a lot.
They will, so why don't you shut up, sweetie?
Yeah, I mean, because you do need... We say the best parts of Chloe is when she is the audience surrogate.
Yeah, and just being smart and like, what? Does not make any sense.
But it is funny. Bruce is like, man, motherfucker. Yeah. A lot.
A layer gone too. So while Bruce is getting into this, Raver is internally freaking out. Because mm-hmm. he's like, oh, shit. Like, this is happening.
Right. Rayford actually knew two people, Buck and Hattie, who had personally met the Antichrist. How bizarre was that? You're right, Rayford. It's almost like you're in a book, you stupid
bitch. It's almost
bitch.
Like you're like one of the main characters in this
you're
book.
You're in a book.
Idiot.
You're ink.
God, I wish I could
you're
punch
so
Rayford
stupid.
In the face.
They talked about his like uniform trench coat earlier.
Oh my
it's like,
God.
Do we hate Rayford more or Buck more?
Ugh, I think I hate Buck more.
I hate Buck more, because Rayford's more of a trope.
Like, every now and then, it's like he does, like, a kind of funny, like middle-aged dad thing. Yeah. And I'm like, that's a dad thing.
They're leaning into the dad thing for him, even though he's, like,
even, like
35
He actually kind of gives some, like, decent, like, advice to Chloe later in the chapter, which surprised me.
Yeah.
Or, like, was, like, he was not, like, being a freak about the fact that she has a crush on Buck.
And, I you know, I will say that later in the chapter, once Ray leans into being the world's oldest, like, 42-year-old or whatever. Or I think he's like, 45.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, because 45, 46, 47, around there, because I believe they said in the first book they waited a little bit longer.
I think so.
Like, it's like Chloe's 20, yada, yada. Yeah. They really relegate him to the grandpa status pretty quickly.
Yeah, he definitely goes grandpa mode, which makes me like him better, actually, when he's grandpa mode.
We like Rayford in T-minus a couple paragraphs.
Yeah, exactly. Rayford is like, okay, but, like, we actually already knew who the Antichrist was, so, like, why are you freaking out?
Why
are
you
so
panic attack, pussy?
Actually. And this is where he clarifies, no, it's not about that part. It's about the whole peace treaty being brokered.
Yeah, and that makes sense. You know, I was talking shit about before, but hey.
And I just want to, like, stress again here, like, the whole, like, evangelical Christian obsession with Israel and shit going on there, you got to listen to our episode about dispensationalism.
We
talk about
watching it. About that? Was it Sopranos?
That was talking about Israel? Yeah. No, it was because it was
Hesh
and his wife. Yes.
So no, that was his daughter-in-law.
His daughter-in-law. Yes. Yeah. So that was actually really interesting, because that was
– quick sidebar. In season 6 of Sopranos, Hesh's son-in-law gets his ass kicked, and his daughter – not daughter-in-law.
Yeah.
Is, like, trying to help it fix out because it was mafia-related. And then they cut forward a couple episodes later, and I think – Tony says something weird because he's in the hospital about Jesus and shit like that. And then Hesh's daughter is like, you know what? Evangelicals are really good to us. Mm-hmm. And was it Hesh that
says? I think it was Hesh, yeah.
He's like, it's not going to be that way forever.
Yeah. No, because that's the thing. Like, if you just look at this very surface level, it's like, oh, evangelicals, Christians love the Jews.
Right.
It's like, only so far as things that happen to Israel and the Jewish people will usher in, you know, the tribulation.
Because I think she specifically says, like, Jewish people and Israel. And so that's why Hesh is
like,
oh, it's not. It's, you know.
It's Israel.
All that to say is, like, you know, that was 2006, I think they explicitly said.
Yeah, I think so. Which that was really interesting that got brought up.
Yeah, like, gotta give it up. And, you know, that is obviously a very strange tangent, but, like, that is sort of really part of what we're doing here.
I thought it was, like, kind of validating, actually, to be like, okay, they're saying this back then. Like, this has been, I mean, we know this has been an issue for a long time. But, yeah, if you want to know more about why evangelicals are such weirdos.
Watch season 6, episode. I'm just kidding.
No, don't do that. No, listen to the episode about dispensationalism because we get into it. So Bruce is like, hey, since the tribulation's probably going to start very soon, why don't we start doing 2-hour meetings every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m.?
That was crazy.
Bruce, that's so late.
Bruce, these people wake up at 5.
What are you talking about? Maybe from 7 to 9. Maybe. If you're telling me, like, do a thing till 10 p.m. every night during the week, I'm saying fuck off.
I mean, you did that.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
When We Live in Boston podcast.
I didn't do it every night.
That's true.
Not every night of the week.
I did like that Buck and Rayford's like, I'm busy.
I don't know if I can do that. And then Bruce is like,
whenever you can. I don't know. I got to fly a lot of planes. I got to write a lot of story. And then Chloe's like, I'm quitting school and becoming your disciple.
Yeah, yeah, because she was talking about like, oh, maybe I should go to college around here. And Bruce is like, you should go to college here at the church.
Yeah.
Every weeknight from 8 p.m. till 10 p.m.
And I was like really awkward thinking about it because like Chloe's like, I don't have anywhere to be. But then later
and then she's just like alone with Bruce studying the Bible.
Right. As he's crying.
I'm busy too, actually. Like,
I gotta go.
I got things to do. Mm. Yeah, Bruce is fucking serious about this. So
which again, like if you're reading this as a Christian, I think that is more interesting, right?
Yeah, it is.
Like, we gotta go. We are starting from -5. We gotta get up to speed.
If you take this book at, like, you know, take it at what it's saying, that this is real, then yes, this is the appropriate reaction to it.
Yeah. The hobgoblins of Evernore have the head start. So.
Yeah, yeah. Bruce says, we need to be starting new churches, new cell groups of believers. There is to be a great soul harvest.
Let's go.
Maybe a billion or more. Soul Harvest is the name of one of the books.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
I don't know. I literally don't know anything.
It's green. I remember it very clearly in my mind. It's black with green.
That one's cool.
Yeah, Soul Harvest is one of the books.
Soul Harvest.
Yeah, yeah. And so Bruce says that a billion or more people will come to Christ? That is a lot of people.
Yeah. That's a lot.
How many people are in the world?
I think around this time, 6 billion.
That's a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess, though, 1/6 of that is not so crazy, but that's still a lot. That's a lot. There are not that many evangelicals. There's a lot of them here in America, but, I mean, there's...
Well, in their world, there's like 1,000, but...
Yeah, exactly. And Bruce reminds, like, while they're having this conversation, is like, hey, just a reminder, a fourth of the world's population is going to be wiped out by the sealed judgments in
Bruce,
18 months.
Real quick, there's 4 of us here. Why would you say that?
Yeah, why would you say 1 out of 4?
You should have said another number, like.
And Raver gets, like, really bummed by this. This is still Raver's viewpoint. He's like, oh man, I'm losing somebody else.
I don't want to lose Buck or the other guy.
Yeah, and then speaking of Buck, we cut to his viewpoint, and Buck has been taking notes to this point, but when this gets said, he's like, oh man, that's a real downer. I'm not writing this down.
You know what? I'm gonna stately close my book because this is too much of a bummer, bud.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Okay, Tim, it's your fucking part that you've been waiting to talk about this whole time. Bruce starts to get practical and talk about needing an underground shelter.
Let's go.
Which I honestly did love this part.
That's great.
Didn't need all the details about how they would trick people with the earth mover.
Stupid.
And the like, what was he saying? Like putting a
tank.
Fucking, a tank?
a water tank, a big ass water. You're right. It is dumb as fuck.
It was like, well, we'll do this so people won't think it's anything. Well, like, what? You think what people are paying attention to your church? Like, no one fucking cares. Like, do you not just like drive around and there's like a pile of dirt somewhere? It's like someone's building something. Like, yeah. I don't know. I don't ever think about that.
They're going so deep on like the thing that they're gonna order a big ass water tank that's gonna be for the church, and they'll be like, that's for the church. They're gonna get some dirt earth movers and they're gonna dig a hole and be like, that's for the tank. Then secretly are they either A, going to build a tiny house down there?
I mean, this
or
one is-
B, are they going to retrofit? I thought they were retrofitting the tank, but then like, then we fucking do something else with the tank.
No, but I think they needed water. I think they, I don't know.
They said electricity, water. Yada,
despite their plan being like too detailed for the book, I still don't quite understand what they were going to do.
Much like I don't know what Buck ate. I don't know if, what they're doing with the tank.
But the important part is they are going to build a underground bunker that connects to the church via a secret passage.
They didn't have to say secret, they but didn't. They did.
They did.
They did that for us.
They did do that for us, and I did like that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Because when Bruce starts talking about making this, at first, Rupert's like, I thought we weren't going to, like, run away from this. And he's like, bitch, we need somewhere to hide from the radiation and disease. Like, what, the radiation?
And okay. It's weird because, like, I know it's coming. I've read the books. I also was raised Christian, so I know the various vibes, the bold judgments and things like that.
Yeah.
But kind of being in the COVIDs, it's like, oh, damn. You mm-hmm. got to – because there's going to be magical disease just floating around, right? So – It's kind of wild to think about, no, we have to stay down here to quarantine ourselves.
Yeah.
Not just from the radiation made sense at the time. And I knew from like almost like a science fiction level when I read this when I was like 13 or 14. But think about it now, I was like, yeah, that's really fucked up.
Yeah. It's pretty
wild. These books do get pretty fucked up.
They do. I'm ready for us to get to those parts.
Cause a lot of people die. And in some really insane ways.
I'm so excited to read those parts.
I've said this before, but I was like, I'm a Christian through and through, but man, do I want to be able to live to see those scorpion guys.
It's like, can I like just
let me peer.
Just like, let me see for a second.
There's both like scarabs that are small that bite you and kill you. And then there's big dudes that only Christians can see.
Right? Oh my God, I forgot about that. That like the Christians are the ones that can see them.
Yeah, they're like
scorpion men.
They're like centaur scorpion men.
I hope they like explain that the scorpion centaurs have like abs and they're like really sexy.
They're super sexy.
Super sexy.
And then there's like at least one meteor situation. Maybe
there's definitely
two.
A meteor. Wormwood. They talk about that.
Yeah,
guys. I am so ready.
Is
for
Wormwood
them.
Mammon or is that something?
No,
different?
That's something different.
I think we had this conversation.
Wormwood poisons. It's a meteor that like poisons the ocean or something. Yeah. Well, let's get to man. I'm so ready.
I mean, you know what?
Let's
skip one of those books.
This book's boring. Let's go to the next one.
Let's wait. We gotta get to that book where a meteor made of blood hits the earth.
Yes. Oh my God. That's what I'm looking for. So they end their little meeting and, Rayford and Chloe are leaving and Chloe's like, hey, Buck, like, you can come get dinner with us if you want. And he's like, no, it's a waste of time to fall in love in the tradition. He doesn't say that out loud, but he's thinking that in his mind.
Yeah. Am I leading this little girl on? Oh, what do I do?
And then he has the internal thought that we referenced earlier, which is
good. Buck had already fallen in love with God. That had to be his passion until Christ returned again.
Have we talked about on this podcast how my high school boyfriend broke up with me when he went to college so that he could focus on God?
And you think he didn't do that? Well, wow, yikes.
Considering that he like immediately started dating another girl.
Maybe God's like, actually, we cleared that up pretty quickly.
Now, to be fair, not the first girl he dated, but the second girl he, as far as I'm aware, is still married to her and has
children.
Well,
it sounds like you're in the way of his walk with the Lord.
I think that, like, he could tell that I was going to turn out to be a Jezebel. So he had to get rid of me.
Your wanton ways.
Yeah. Which was correct of him, I think, because I did immediately, like, start deconverting the second I went to college. So that was correct.
Yeah. And I do think that it's cool that your previous boyfriends and suitors are such chuds.
Oh my God. They're all so bad.
Yeah.
But like, not in a like, kind of like they were abusive. It's just like, because I was like,
there's not interesting. There's
no,
guys.
They're just like weird, like dudes that I met in rural North Carolina.
They're all bald men in North Carolina.
Yes.
You know, what are you gonna do?
Literally. So we get, we cut over to Rayford teasing Chloe a little bit for having a crush on Buck.
And this pulls lever. We like Rayford now.
Yeah, I do like when he's all like, oh, like, what's going on?
Because he enters cool dad mode. He's like, you should, you're being, like, this is the part, and when I say the part, I mean the entire series probably, where Chloe is written annoyingly about like, oh, I don't want to,
oh,
you know, with daddy, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. But Ray is like, hey man, It sounds like, wait, what? He said in the letter that he's attracted to you? What did you say? Nothing?
Yeah.
Well, he probably thinks that he came on too strong.
Yeah. No, he literally is like, he might need some encouragement, which I was like, I'm honestly shocked at that.
Right.
Because I feel like the evangelical mindset is very like, women do not make the move. It is actually like evil.
Well, they do later say that like it would be wrong for Chloe to do something, and then Ray was like, "Yeah, we agree."
Yeah. So I guess like it's just that he's not quite as like.
Right, but it is her job to basically like while Buck is doing the mating dance, she has to respond in kind.
She's at home pining and being sad and moping. Yeah, there's a part where she's like, I thought I was on his mind, Dad. Now I sit here like a schoolgirl, wondering and hoping. It's also stupid. Which I did like that she was like, this is dumb.
Right.
Why am I feeling like this?
And you know, if, pull the Chloe lover that's not named yet, but like they say this constantly for her. Where they go back and forth by writing her like shit and then saying, isn't she written like shit?
Yes. Which, yeah, like she's being like, I'm being stupid. Are I being so stupid? Like, you're making her.
Just because you say it doesn't make it that much better. That.
So, yeah. So we actually, we.
And this is the part where, when they're going back and forth.
Between the chapters, like,
where they,
the viewpoints, it's
where
so
they,
stupid.
Call Rayford dad as opposed to Rayford said.
Oh, I didn't. I'll have to like look at it again to see. But yeah, so while this is happening, we're kind of like coming back and forth between Rayford viewpoint and Buck. We see that Buck has gotten to his apartment and he has several messages, but the most important one being a message from Steve Plank saying that Carpathia would like to talk to him.
Ruh-roh.
Wonder what's going to go on with that. After he gets the message, like we see Buck is laying in his new bed in his
new
apartment.
Now let's break this down real quick.
Yeah.
So. It explicitly says that he's laying on his belly.
Yes.
Reading the Bible.
Isn't that weird? Like a teenage girl. Right. I honestly didn't, like, I just was like, oh, he's laying on the bed.
Because
I didn't clock that he's laying on his stomach.
Because they say he's laying on his stomach, and I was like, oh, he's done. And then they specifically point out he got done and laid on his back. I was like, what the fuck
is
happening?
Yeah, I thought it was that he was just, like, laying there and thinking. But no, you're right. Like, was he kicking his legs?
Well,
like, what was he doing?
They thought this was normal enough to include. So now put into your mind palace, like, Tim LaHaye doing this.
Oh, my God. I hate that. I hate that.
Weird choices.
Ugh, weird. I don't know why, but I'm just like, ugh, I don't know.
And
about
again,
this.
Like, we're joking about it, but they do very specifically, like, know where their characters are, what they're eating, and what their bodies are doing.
No, I think they're doing, like, storyboarding and, like, figuring that shit out. So they must have cut out a lot of boring stuff. and some of them just didn't.
Buck crossed his legs.
They missed some of it. They missed
some of
it.
Use these muscles to stand up.
Exactly. So after Buck gets done reading the Bible, which he fucking loves, he obviously starts thinking about Chloe again, and he starts to pray to God. Mm. And he specifically, like says in his prayer to God, like, is she too young for me? Which I think it's funny that they, like, keep bringing it up. It's like, it was obviously, like, a thing.
I think it was probably focus tested. Like, yo.
That's a little weird.
It's a little weird,
well,
right?
Well, maybe you didn't need to make her 20. Make her, like, 22. And then it's, like, make him, like, 29 and her 22.
You know what?
And that's, like, way less weird.
Right. And you know what's an more interesting plot point? Ray feeling trapped because they had kids so early, as opposed to the plot point, which is we waited a weird time.
Yeah, very strange.
Very strange. Just
again,
and yeah, Buck didn't need to be 30, but also, who cares?
But it's also, like, a little, like, strange credulity for him to be such a, like, you know, star reporter at only 30. Like, I mean, that's still pretty young.
Right. So, like, if it's baffling at 30, it's more baffling at 28.
I mean, yeah, like, exactly. I mean, I don't know. I feel like when you're, it's like, what's the difference between 28 and 30? Like,
2 years.
Huh. Okay.
2 years.
So yeah, while Buck is praying, he's like, I know that Chloe is attracted to me, but again, I feel conflicted about, like, encouraging this. And as he's praying, he, like, starts to, like, have, like, visions of them, like, married and, like, or thoughts of marriage and kids, he says.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he doesn't explicitly say he thinks of Chloe as his wife and them having children, but
well, it's kind of
that's
like
kind of implied.
It's kind of like an A to B to C, right?
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, oh, well, maybe this is how God answers prayer, like, the way my brain goes. So he finally decides, he's like, you know what?
And earlier, either Ray or him were like, wait, God is talking to Bruce.
Yeah.
What does that mean? So I think this is like a somewhat interesting way for them to be like, here's how the Lord impresses upon you.
This is how it works. Exactly. Right. This is our philosophy of how people hear God. I think what they're saying here, and I never like felt when I was in that mindset that God was literally talking to me. It was more like the way that I experienced it at the time was like my internal monologue was like almost like taken over by God.
Was like
oh, this internal monologue is being given to me by God.
Ah, it's weird that the thing I wanted to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I should have another Krispy Kreme donut.
But except for like for me, it was less that and more like, oh, all these like messages that have been drilled into your head forever, like those are the ones in there. Like, well, like remember like when we were reading my like weird journal, like I'm being lustful and terrible.
Yeah.
So it was more like that for me. And less like validating.
It's not God, it's the guilt drilled into you by hashtag society.
Yeah, it's like the evil demon in my brain that gives me depression and anxiety. So after he prays, Buck is like, you know what? I just need to talk to her about it.
Nothing to it but to do it, you know?
And he's like, oh, it's 10:30 p.m. Well, I'll draw a con. Which in my mind, that's crazy. You don't call someone's house after 10.
Especially for these motherfuckers who wake up so early.
Yeah. In my mind, I think it's rude to call someone's house after – honestly, I don't want to do it after 9 p.m.
After 4.
Don't call me at all. I just think it's wild to call someone's house when at 10:30. It's so late.
I think 10:30 is in the hinterlands where you realize that it's verboten but allowed.
But in the world of landlines, like, you could be sleeping and then your house phone rings. That's going to disturb you.
Yeah,
it's actually, like, way less bad to do it on cell phones because it's like, well, if people are sleeping, they're put on do not disturb. Mm-hmm. So it's whatever. But this is like, I'm going to disturb someone at this house right now at 10:30 p.m.
There's about to be 5 ringing machines.
Yeah, exactly. So he does call. And Rayford answers the phone, and Buck's all like, oh, is she calling here? And he's like, oh, I don't know. She might be in bed. And then Buck's like, well, okay, just tell her to call me back when she gets a chance. But, guys, Chloe was awake. She's like, Dad, why didn't you tell him I was awake? And he's like,
Well, you didn't respond to me when I shouted earlier, so.
And I like that he was like, maybe it's better to make him wait till the morning. Like, I feel like Rayford's getting into the, like, strategy.
This is.
Of getting Buck and Chloe together, which I like.
It is somewhat unbelievable how matchmaker he is. And
I think he likes Buck a lot.
I do like it, yeah.
Like, he likes Bucks, and I think in this world, he's like, well, I want my beautiful daughter to have a Christian husband.
Exactly.
And I know those guys are Christian, and they like each other.
Yeah,
so.
And Buck and Chloe do get together, and they do have children, which is fucking crazy.
Okay, I kind of forgot about the children aspect of it.
Yeah,
I was trying to remember how that worked out.
Because I was just like, get a vasectomy, okay, freak.
Can I say something really awful now?
It. Do I need to mute the microphone?
Not quite that bad, but okay. If you're going with the logic of this world, Buck and Chloe, you have a baby. Why shouldn't you just kill it immediately and send it to
heaven? Dude, I was doing the exact same thing. Have 1,000 kids, but
smash them. Smash the baby's head against the rocks like they do in the Bible.
It's so much safer.
Because it's like, yeah, something terrible is going to happen.
But that baby got cold.
And if they're little babies, then they're not past the age of accountability, and so they just go straight to heaven.
Because that's what I was thinking.
So you should just kill every baby.
You're so right.
I'm honest. I'm just being logical.
Yeah, you get to heaven, and there's 37 guys there. Like, hey, I'm an adult now.
I'm your child.
I'm your child. Like, oh, like,
wow.
Why did you throw a baby off a building every 9 months? That's really fucking crazy.
I'm just saying you should, like, you should just, like, get yourself a fucking brood of children and I'm in heaven.
You're not wrong. Everything you're saying is correct.
I'm right.
And no one should boo you. Because I was like, because we were trying to remember if we're pretty sure Rayford gets married.
Oh, he does. I 100% remember that. Do I remember? No, I don't remember her name.
I don't know. I have no idea who it is.
I remember what she looks like.
I hope it's Earl. But like,
Rayford's gay.
That'd be such a fun twist. But the vibe is like, are you not able to have ghost kids in heaven? So do you have to?
Well, because it's like, well, what do they look like up there? Like, that becomes a whole, like,
wings,
philosophical question,
you know,
of, like, what age are people in heaven?
Harps.
Like, are you forever, like, a billion years old? Or are you forever a baby if you die when you're a baby? Like, I think the concept that I was, like, when it came up was, like, no. It's like, you're some, like, perfect middle, like,
you just are.
Age.
Yeah.
Right, or maybe it's, like, not even, like, a thing like that because you're, like, a spirit.
For the most part, it doesn't matter because once you hit, after 25, it doesn't matter. Right?
Yeah.
Unless you have dementia, then it's like, well, you don't have dementia.
Well, but I mean, like, what you'd look like. Isn't it a thing?
Well, that's what I'm saying, where it matters less after you're 25. It's like, oh, well, it's like the Matrix. You're going to look like what you think you look
like. Oh, I see. But if you're a baby, then it's what did I look like?
Yeah, you have to upgrade them.
Yeah.
It's fucked up. Anyways, Jennifer's right. If you're in the rapture,
just kill your babies.
You just have like a fuck ton of babies and kill them.
I mean, I'm just saying. Makes sense.
Because the only reason you're having babies is to have ghost children in the eternal beyond.
I mean, this goes along with the whole thing that like early on, actually, now that I think of it, started to crack Christianity, which is when I learned, it's like, when I asked about like, oh, but like, what if people have never heard about Jesus? Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, well, you know, God will like work with them. And then I'm like, well, then isn't it better to not send missionaries out so they just go to heaven?
Right.
Because then once they know about Jesus and they say no, then they're going to go to hell. That seems bad.
Yeah.
Definitely, like the way that my brain works on these things, Christians aren't really into my logic.
And I do think it's sometimes funny where it's like we try to drill home how much of a normal and deep Christian we were, but then we're like, why doesn't everyone kill their kids or stop being missionaries? Or why doesn't George Bush bomb the Dome of Iraq?
Exactly.
It's like, maybe you were like a little too into this.
Yeah,
and that's why
we went dark. Yeah, went too far with it.
You took it to this logical conclusion. And that's not really what we're about.
No, it was not good.
It's like, wait, you were super Christian, but you thought prayer was bullshit. It's like, whatever, man. People did it. I'm normal.
Yeah.
So that's basically the end of the first two chapters.
Although we've been talking for like an hour and a half, pretty boring chapters.
Yeah. This happens sometimes on our podcast, Naruto Review, where the boring episodes are so long because we're just like going, we're losing our minds.
Right. Because it's just like, oh, this other stupid thing happened. Right.
And then on the really good episodes, it was like, it was sick when Naruto kicked that guy,
right?
It
was so cool when they built their underground bunker.
Right. So, yeah, we're getting – I both wish and don't wish, because I wish I knew vaguely what happens in this book. But the other part of me is like, I don't want to be let down if there's not – I don't want to be let down if – a major U.S. city doesn't get obliterated.
I think I'm going to have to, like, peek.
I think you should peek.
I think I'm going to peek and see, like, where we're ending up.
Yeah.
Because I have read this one.
But I don't
want to
know,
time.
But I guess
maybe I won't say, but I want to know. Yeah. As the person who makes the notes and, like, kind of, you know, I just want to know where it's going.
Because, again, we read these things, we liked them, but now we are looking back at after seeing the whole story.
Yeah.
And the shit we focus on are, like, blood meters.
Yeah, yeah.
And them being shot in the head and the Korean guy that has to get the Mark of the Beast.
Oh, my God.
That guy rocks.
Very interesting. Oh man, I've been curious how the whole like Korean church thing, cause that is, there's like a pretty large Christian community in South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Because we imported that shit there.
Yeah. And I bet like as they wrote the books, like, bro, we got to hit all these markets.
Yeah. Cause actually now that I'm thinking about it, I believe that Tim LaHaye had connection to the Moonies. Like,
which are bad, by the way.
Yes. They're not good.
Is that the Shinzo Abe thing?
Yes.
The world's most successful assassin?
Yes.
Shout out.
Yeah. Tim LaHaye and the Moonies. That feels like an episode at some point in the future.
That's a fun title.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he like actually kind of got in trouble because people were like, dude, yeah, you're working with the Moonies?
I think
like,
you
really?
Talked about that. And I think Shinzo Abe was like, whatever. And then someone killed him.
Yeah. It's like, you allowed the Moonies to exist and it ruined my family's life. I'm going to build a gun
in Japan
and shoot you. And he did it.
He did
and
it.
And everyone was like, he kind of had a point, actually.
Yeah. Not only did he show off how bad Shinzo Abe was, he killed him. Is that guy dead or is he in jail?
I think he's in jail.
They should let him out.
I think he's in jail.
They should let him out.
I feel like I was going to say something else, but man, I think we've gone long enough.
Yeah,
so
we've gone a little
just
longer than we expected, but I think because we're so excited to be back.
Yeah, no, I am excited to be back. I do want to get into the bullshit very badly. I'm tired. I'm a little tired of the, like, Chloe book. Like, mm-hmm. Will they, won't they? Yeah. I need more seal judgments.
I need secret tunnels.
I need Nikolai Carpathia. I miss him.
I need them to talk about, will we shoot someone in the fucking face if they get the Mark of the Beast?
Yeah, exactly.
I need to hear that conversation.
We've got to get to the Mark of the Beast. Wait, that's going to be later, though, because isn't that, like, midway through? I don't think the Mark of the Beast stuff happens.
Yeah, Mark
like
of the Beast happens halfway through.
So. I'm so ready for
it. But again, like, so much shit happens that it's way more interesting later.
Yeah.
Because Because eventually it's completely illegal to be a Christian.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, again, what my little book that I started was, like, inspired by.
Yeah, so.
It's illegal to be Christian.
Every time they, like, move from point A to point B is the world's most dangerous thing ever, which makes sense.
So I'm ready for that to happen versus, like, hey, Buck, do you want to go get dinner?
Do you want to lick more cookie off my face?
Oh, my God, weirdo? I forgot about that.
Anyways, thank you so much for tuning in. We mentioned it before, but patreon.com/contenthole is not only this podcast's Patreon, but also Jennifer and I's vague content creator Patreon. A good excuse for us to talk about, share the things that make us happy, that we like to squeeze our dirty brains out upon you.
I hosted a intro to K-pop music videos night for our patrons, and I think people were really into it. And in fact, it might be about time to do another one.
I don't remember if we did a bonus episode for April, because we did like a real bonus episode.
Right. Yeah. So I feel like we owe the Patreon some stuff. So yeah. We'll ponder. I have a few ideas.
Yeah. We have, and again, I think we want to absolutely dig deeper onto some of these left behind stuffs and put,
because
there's this mix of like, people want to hear it. And come on, man, it's, you know how it is. We got to make money. But like, there's a part of it too, is we don't want to put everything out on the feed, not just from a like FOMO perspective,
right,
but from like a readability perspective of the show.
Yes, exactly.
So there are some things about Left Behind that would maybe work for the main feed, but we should probably keep them on the Patreon feed for tidy's sake.
Yeah, but
and it'll make more money. Let's go.
But I will say, like, overall, I mean, like, the book club episodes are always going to be free. And I think probably a lot of like cool research ones.
Unless the rapture happens and then it's illegal for us to put these out.
Oh yeah. Well, then we'll have to go underground. Mm-hmm. So
we will have to ask for your money.
Yeah, and then it'll be radio situation.
It's gonna be so fucking expensive, but we're gonna go full on evangelical mode that you're gonna love it.
I
need to pray for you with this cloth and the fucking Nile.
We're gonna start selling colloidal silver.
Yes.
In tinctures.
We promise you, if anything MREs. Too fucked up happens, we're gonna get more fucked up.
Yeah, we're gonna lean into it.
Yes, absolutely.
We're gonna become preppers.
But like preppers that blow up bridges and shit like that.
Yeah.
You follow us on Twitter, me at Tim Lanning, Jennifer at Jennifer Cheek. You can follow the show. We don't tweet a whole lot, but we do read the ats.
Twitter sucks ass. Twitter these sucks days. Ass. It's not as good, so it's just like whatever.
Yeah. But it's at. Well, I always say it wrong. I think it's Trib.
It's right there. It's right there.
Oh my god!
I put it in there for you.
The future. Twitter.com/TribFarsePod. Instagram. .com/TribFarsePod. We literally never check that
I'm
one.
I'm sorry, I don't.
And then if you want to send us an email, and we do check those every now and again, if we don't mention your wonderful emails on the show, at tribulationfarce@gmail.com. We've gotten a lot of really good ones where we're like, hey, we got to pause and like, let us read your entire long ass email because it's really, really good. We're super thankful for that. We're super thankful for the Patreon. Super thankful for the listenership. But that being said, we are a new podcast that is about something Christian
and very niche
and we explicitly think that religion should be banned, and we we say the F word a lot, so we do need help.
You should, like, tell cool people online about our podcast.
Please.
Because, like, I feel like this is something that people would like.
Because it's niche, but niche in the fun way where I think, like, anyone would like it.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Because it's, like, a subculture that –
exactly.
Because, like, a lot of your friends who didn't grow up this way are like, what the fuck?
Exactly. No, it's like either you like it because you grew up that way and it's cathartic, or you're like, what the fuck is this?
Right, exactly. So if you're doing that, thank you so much. But we're going to turn the screws lightly, hoping that the rest of you do it too. Please, 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 please. Please. That's the number one way to spread the word of the good word.
Proselytize about tribulation farce.
Bruce out here doing it. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, Rafer's about to get fired from his job.
Yeah. What? You're not getting fired from your job doing
it? As a pilot?
Yeah. Whenever you listen to our podcast, you should take your headphone out and be like, is it okay if I listen to this? And everyone's like, what?
What? Like, ever since I started listening to this podcast, my life has been so much better.
If you're not pulled into HR for listening to this show, you're not doing
it right. What are you doing?
And that is very true and not a joke. I'm not kidding at all. Anyways, we still don't have a convenient sign-off. Bye.
Bye.
We said like a thief in the night. I don't like it.
Oh, you don't like that?
I mean,
pretty good.
Jesus Christ, real name, no gimmicks. your own chopped liver. So if you want a savior, this is what I'll give you. A day when bunnies lay eggs that I call Easter. 12 apostles and 4 gospels. No eye can pull off the impossible by not becoming a fossil. When I'm 6 feet deep, I pop out of the ground and hook you up with some peeps. Now this looks like a job for me, even though they crucified me. Don't you know that you can't kill me, cause there'd be no Easter without me.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.